All right. We are live. This is CDSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. We stream online at cdsf.ca. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter, and listen to podcasts of our programs on SoundCloud and our website. Got a request, text or call us at 778-782-CGSF or 2573. This is Huayinj Shakhlak from the Ntlakemk territories up in the Nicola Valley from Gwaishkanaa, BC. And I'm your host here on Free Voices, brought to you by Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. And we have a super awesome show coming up for you guys. We have a subject and it's on heritage. We have some music from Green Leaf. They're Swedish. We have some classical Vivaldi. We have some supergrass. We have some asteroid. They're from Sweden. Supergrass is from England. And we have Ben Woods also. So we have some pretty awesome music coming up. And we also have some of our usual guests coming in. We will have our president of Minnetonka Park Association, Celia. We will have an interview of our famous architect, Mr. Sapa. And also we have Shkwait Shakhlach, my brother from Gwaishkanaa, BC, and also Lady Faima. And so we have some pretty awesome tunes coming in for you. And we're going to get this show started right and later on, and we're going to play some energetic music from Green Leaf, and the song is called Breathe Out. So we'll get this show on the road and get started. Thank you all for listening. All right, we're back. That was Green Leaf, Breathe Out. And they're a Swedish band, and I've been listening to a lot of Swedish music lately. And so we're going to welcome everybody from all over the world, from England, from Germany, from Spain, from France, from Egypt, from Africa, from Russia, from Ukraine, from Indonesia, from New Zealand, from Australia, from South America, from North America, all across the United States, all across Canada. Welcome all to our odyssey of positivity, of human growth, empowerment for human rights and justice, and just making this place a better place in the universe. Thank you all for your hearts, your ears, your minds, and helping us to achieve our goals of making the world better. So we're going to start off this show right as our brother Wegedusk used to lead us through some of our deep breaths. Right now he's out in the Philippines and not able to attend right now, maybe in the future. So we're going to imagine inhaling all the positivity in the world. And on the exhales, we're going to imagine getting rid of all the negative energy that builds up in our lives throughout the week and days. So we're going to do three deep breaths on 3, 2, 1. Okay, last one. Deep breath. Ooh, man. That's
so... That last one was a little too deep. I
Yeah, that's so awesome. Always getting that fresh air into our lungs and getting it into our bloodstreams and going up to our brains and getting us ready for an awesome show. We have a show subject, and it's on heritage. And we'd love to hear from you, President of Minnetonka Park Association, Celia. Thank you for
Hello.
Joining us, and we'd love to hear your words on heritage.
Immediately, I think of what we inherit from our families and our larger communities around us in terms of language. I tie it very closely to culture, and everything from language to values to what our day-to-day things that we do. I know heritage for some people can also be how we live in terms of, you know, architecture or how we build homes to survive and that type of thing. And that's, you know, so it's sort of that whole inherited piece of that we get from our families and larger culture. That's sort of where my mind went with that. What about you?
For me, I've been thinking a lot about it because of our next segment, which is going to be talking with achievers. And on that part of the section, we're going to be talking, doing an interview with Mr. Sapa, the world-famous architect that built the Lotus Temple in New Delhi, India. And, you know, that's a big part of heritage. And it's something that kind of belongs to mankind as a whole. Mm-hmm. And...
You're thinking about the largest family of all.
Yes, mankind. the previous or the predecessors of the monkeys, I guess you could say. So, but yeah, it's heritage is so important, and it's one of those things that helped me stabilize my own life in gaining some of the heritage, culture, and traditions along my journey of life, and mm-hmm. that happened with Councillor Fari because she was a big, big believer in those things that help us throughout our lives and journey. And
so, are you seeing it quite tied to legacy as well? Is that what you're also saying there?
Well, it's something that's very tied to all of us in mm-hmm. in guiding us on our path and journeys through life, and that's kind of how I was seeing it, just on a more broad level that includes everyone. You know, we mm-hmm. can all go to our own culture, traditions, and heritage, but we can also look at it on a bigger scope and
our common humanity and our collective that way. Yeah.
And that's how I was envisioning it towards Mr. Sapa and his building us some heritage for humanity. And
yes, he's got a very, very large vision there.
Yes, so, yeah. And we'd like to also ask Kanwar, how about yourself?
Yes.
It's interesting. For me, it's a bit of a twofold thing. I feel that, of course, there are lineages and traditions that are passed down to you from either people that came before you or your community or especially your family. And they've stuck around for a reason, because they're impactful and they're powerful and they're kind of beyond time. So I think about those lineages as the heritages that are given to you or bestowed upon you when you reach a level of understanding and acceptance. But at the same time, there's also the heritages that you start. And I think, for example, like my radio show, I've now been doing it for close to 7 years now. And so it has a heritage of its own, and it's gone places that I never thought. And you think about your involvement with community groups or living in a certain place for a while. After a while, you do develop a heritage that's organic and that is new. So in twofold, you have the heritages of the past, and we aim to keep all of those positive traditions and cultures, and especially things that have eroded over time, let's bring them back, let's shine them back up. At the same time, don't be afraid to start a new heritage, because there's a wonderful quote that says, great men plant trees in which they will never see shade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that.
That's so strong, so beautiful too, and mm-hmm. I really love that. And we're going to go into our next segment soon, but I really enjoyed the music that you selected.
Oh, yes.
From Vivaldi.
Yes.
Autumn 2.
Yes. This is, you were asking, well, I got an email from you last week, and we were doing some audio editing on the Lotus Temple interview, and it was great to listen to that. And you asked me to choose a piece of music based on this week's theme of heritage. So it made me think about music that has been especially impactful. And for me, I've dedicated a good chunk of my life to classical music, and it will always be a thing. And it made me think of a very specific cassette tape that I had when I was growing up, and it was Vivaldi's The Four Seasons. And I played
I
played it so much that I nearly wore that tape out. So I still have it with me, and all the labels have worn off, and so it's just kind of a blank cassette, but I know what's on there. And it was something that I always used to go back to and listen to when I was 7, 8, 9 years old. And a lot of people know about the summer and the winter movements of Vivaldi's Four Seasons, but I think autumn sometimes is a bit overlooked. So this is the second movement that we're going to listen to of Vivaldi's Four Seasons, Adagio Molto. And the cool, there are a lot of different performances out there, but the video I pulled up for Free Voices today has some performance video attached to it. So if you're joining us here in the studio, you'll be able to see it. And out there in Radio Land, I just want you to imagine that heritage is real, because this music was composed, you know, 300 plus years ago, and it still is making an impact.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's so fitting that it's this deep and classical, and it's a legacy in itself, and it's going towards a person that has built something so deep and special for
absolutely
humanity. So we're going to go to that, and we're going to listen to Vivaldi, Autumn, movement too.
Mm-hmm.
So enjoy, everyone, and we'll be right back. Was Vivaldi movement number 2 for Autumn. And now we're going to play the interview. Okay, welcome to the program. Welcome for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, we have a segment on Free Voices and it's called Talking with Achievers. And we have a very special and honored guest for talking about world achievement, and his name is Mr. Sapa. He's a renowned architect, and we want to he's given us the privilege and honor of having an interview with us, and he's come from the prestigious University of Tehran, and we're going to be focusing on his one of his greatest projects, which was the temple, the Lotus Temple, built in New Delhi, India. And we welcome you, Mr. Sapa, for joining us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, so we would like to have you enlighten us on your project of the Lotus Temple.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure for me to talk to you and as well as to the students of Simon Fraser University. And I had a wonderful relation with a distinguished architect that built your university, Arthur Erickson, and it was really, he was a very distinguished and highly great architect. Because you are talking about the building a Lotus Temple that I built. It was completed in 1986. That was the time that it opened. And in fact, Mr. Arthur Erickson came to that temple right at that time. And I had pleasure to welcome him. And when he was in my office, he has written in a book that is was there, and that quotation is also published in the book about the temple. He wrote, "One of the most remarkable achievements of our time, proving that the drive and vision of a spirit can achieve miracles." This is what he wrote in that book. And for me, it's very significant that now I have the chance to talk to the students that they, I'm sure, you know him when, of course, he passed away for years now, but you know him and his work. As far as the building of the temple is concerned, I want to explain that I was very young, maybe at your age, for in my 20s, where when this international competition was announced, and I was really at that time very happy to participate in that competition, and in fact through a process of three stages of a competition, I was selected as the architect of the project, which was a great honor for me, because I had done many buildings before that, but I building a temple was very special for me. I was always considering a real challenge, especially this temple, because you know that this is for, it was for Indian subcontinent, and in India the religions are so much, there has been so much confusion and separation between the religions, that practically the followers of these religions have completely separated from each other. And for example, it will not be very common that a Hindu goes to a mosque, or Muslims, they go to Hindu temple, or if at all they go, if they go, they go for just watching as a tourist, not to go and meditate. And the same thing is about the churches or the Zoroastrian temples, or Jain temples, or Sikh temples. All of them are very defined architecturally, and they are separate from each other. And the concept, and this, I was building this temple for the Baha'i religion. My clients were the Baha'is of India, and their main concept of this building, the thing that they were expecting from my design, was that it welcomes all the people of India from any religion, any caste, and any races, which all of them are cause of disunity in India. So the temple, because they defined in the competition that the Baha'i temples are built as based on main teaching of the Baha'i faith, which believe in the fact that all the religions of the world are one. There is only one religion. And the different manifestations and prophets of God that has come are like different teachers of that school or that university. Each one of them, they come for certain time and certain place, and based on age of the people of the time, they can present their teaching. When we are in grade one, we cannot understand, for example, when we are in school grade one, we can only understand ABCD. We can put the words together, we can start reading like that. While our teacher could be quite familiar with philosophy and science and geometry and algebra and all of those things, but the professor, our teacher, cannot talk to us because we are too young. As we go higher and higher and higher, sometimes the same teacher, sometimes different teachers, they come, but with the same principle of educating us, and they will speak based on requirement of that time and that place. So the highest, they built a temple. Their temple is a place for praise of God or the Lord of the religions, all the religions, not for the Baha'is. Not for, it's not like a built for followers of one religion. It is built for mankind, for people that they come there, and whatever way or manner or prayers or holy writings, that is their holy text, is welcome, and the people of all the religions should come and sit together face to face. And the most important